So I'm going to be speaking about how to capture our attention, how to capture a reporter's attention, and sort of just start with some of the very basics about what our day looks like so you understand kind of everything we're doing here. One of the things I wanted to say is photos and graphics help as far as that, and we'll talk more about that as far as capturing our attention. Are we supposed to read this aloud, the disclosures? Okay, I said that on the upload thing, so. Okay. All right, so some quick tips. First of all, reporters are usually swamped. Just the way you guys are, you walk in the door, the phone is ringing, there's emails, there's bosses, there's editors' meetings, at least at the Globe, at 10:30 in the morning, where they're already starting to plan the day's newspaper. So they want to know pretty quickly when you walk in the door what you're working on, if you haven't told them the night before. So one of my first tips is best to email first. And then follow up with a phone call. I can tell you that often we will get phone calls and someone will launch into a story pitch and you're in the middle of a breaking news story and you really can't focus. So it really helps. A lot of times, I know personally myself and probably a lot of other reporters, at the end of the day when you're off deadline and your brain isn't scrambled eggs anymore, that's the time I tend to launch into a lot of my emails and really read them in depth. I'll skim them during the day, but at the end of the day, I'll really start looking at them and deciding, oh, this is good, I should get back to this person, a great idea. So just a word to the wise, try and email the pitch first, and then if you want to follow up later in the day or the next day, that usually is more successful. Another thing at the Globe, and I think increasingly at a lot of other news organizations, is we're feeding a lot of beasts, as I say. A lot of things are demanding our attention, not just the paper that we're putting out tomorrow, but we have several blogs that are live all day. We have White Coat Notes. We have The Daily Dose, and my colleague Deb Koss is in the audience somewhere, and she's our blogger too. So we have to, provide content for all of those sites. Plus, we're constantly updating Boston.com and BostonGlobe.com. So just know that we're looking for a lot of material, but we're also feeding a lot during the day. Another idea is to please, and it sounds harsh, but do your homework if you can. If you can understand what a reporter's beat is and tailor the pitch. I can't tell you how many times I'll get a call or an email and someone's trying to pitch me a story about a medical device, or something to that, or mental health even, which is a really great story idea, but I focus on public health and aging. Yes, I can forward it to the appropriate reporter, but it helps if you look at our website, and on BostonGlobe.com, we explain every reporter's beat. So that's a word to the wise to help better tailor the pitch. How we find our stories. This is not in order from first to least, and I thought about that later, but a variety of ways. We do obviously get press releases, but we read medical journals, which often are given to us on an embargo basis, and we find a lot of good stories, not just that particular study from a particular journal, but also trend stories. If we notice a lot of stories coming out about a particular thing, fears or phobias or public health, how to get more people vaccinated for the flu, we tend to gather string. So we read a lot of medical journals. We go to events. We cover public health council meetings and really mine them for stories. We follow organizations on Twitter. I recently came up with a story by following the Boston Public Health Commission that was tweeting out proposed regulations to better regulate nail salons. And they just had a little link, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's problems with nail salons. Who knew? And it turned out to be a pretty good story. So we follow organizations on Facebook and Twitter, and also reader tips. We get a lot of great tips from readers. So just so you know, this is how we look for our stories and how we find them. Pitching compelling stories. Again, I said target the right reporter. I can't tell you how important this is. You will be a lot more successful if you get your pitch to the right reporter. If you're calling a mental health reporter with a measles story, it's probably not going to be too successful. Another thing is keeping the pitch to the press release to one page. And I'm going to show you quickly, if I don't go over my time, some examples of that. Everybody's busy, and if you can summarize what you're trying to pitch someone in one page with a headline, just the way you'd see in a newspaper, a headline and a subheadline, it gives the reporter a pretty quick idea of what it is you're trying to tell us. And if you can summarize it on one page, that really helps, which is not to say you won't get a better crack at it with a follow-up talking to the reporter, but you'll have more success if you keep it to a page. Humanizing a story is also really, really important. If you can, if you're pitching research or a program that you're trying to get publicized about, again, getting more people vaccinated or whatever it might be, if you can identify a real person, and by a real person, I mean a consumer, a patient, a research subject who is willing to be interviewed, that's going to be make the story much more compelling because people, readers identify with other people who have been through that situation. So that really does help when you're thinking about your pitch to a reporter. Another thing is, if you are a public affairs person, and you probably know this, but it bears repeating, if you can ensure that your newsmaker, your researcher, your administrator, whoever it is that you're trying to get to the media to be interviewed, is comfortable speaking with the media, that really helps. Maybe sit down with a person and explain what questions they are likely to get or what help them synthesize the points they want to make in their interview, that really, really helps. I can't tell you how many times a public relations person will offer an administrator or a researcher and they're very uncomfortable speaking with the media and it's very tough to get the story out. And also to think multimedia, and you're going to hear much more about this from these people, so I won't delve too much into it, but newspaper reporters increasingly have to feed websites, blogs. Also in the newspaper, you want graphics, you want pictures. So if you can think about several elements to pitch with your pitch, not only the story idea, but gee, I have some data that would make a great chart in your newspaper or online, or I have a great illustration of the brain that would show some of the problems we're trying to illustrate. That would be wonderful too. So think multimedia, video, photos, data. I'm giving you an example of a press release I received. This press release went on for 3 pages. Now, it turns out we did a terrific story from this, and I will show you how it ended up. But I'm just trying to show you that, and it goes on. The example that's good about this press release, and it didn't quite convert to the PowerPoint the way I'd like it, is it had a good headline and a good subheadline. Couples Gratitude Launches Program Aimed at Debilitating and Often Recognized Brain Disorder. It was a story about normal pressure hydrocephalus, a new research and a new center starting at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. And the subheadline was, over 375,000 Americans have undiagnosed NPH, this disorder, expected to exceed 1 million as baby boom population ages. Bang, it got my attention. Something that people don't know about and it's going to probably hit a lot more people. So that was terrific and that really worked. What was problematical is that it went on for 3 pages and it was just a lot to get through. That said, the public health, the public affairs person at the Brigham who we often work with was terrific and lined up a real person, actually 2 real people, the people who were donating the money. That was the purpose of why they had this press releases, that they were getting a lot of money from this couple who had been afflicted, plus, and that they lived in Florida, plus they had a local patient who they had helped, whose story was very compelling. So they were, it was good and it was not so good, and I'm just showing you that the press release went on for 3 pages and I'm not going to bore you with the whole 3 pages, but the other example of what they could have done a little better is they basically are telling you, and you had to read through more than half to two-thirds of this press release, like this bottom of the second page, to find out that basically a lot of times this disorder, which is very treatable and curable, mimics Alzheimer's. That's a big deal. That's a big deal that people are often misdiagnosed in this disorder. So, and I highlighted it in bold, but it was really way down in the press release. If I were writing that press release, I would emphasize that pretty high up. But that said, they had a terrific story idea, and it made a terrific story. So I'm going to show you that in a minute. And quickly, I know I'm probably running out of time. Press releases that work, obviously the headline and the subheadline, descriptive, relevant, short, to the point. Press releases that don't work,
10 minutes, but you have 15.
Okay. Too dense and too long. I showed you. Try and keep it to a page. Helpful. What's helpful for us is to include online links to useful info and data. More and more I'm seeing people do this. It's really helpful. That way you're not cramming it all into a press release, but you're giving me a link, and I can go to that link, and I can see more data, more information, perhaps graphics, etc. Timing, and this was the one thing about the story I'm going to show you very quickly, the normal pressure hydrocephalus story, is that they pitched it, and I don't know if they did this deliberately, but I find it's very successful. Consider pitching news stories during news droughts, dog days of summer, which is when they pitched this story in August, post-holidays. You know, everybody wants to pitch a flu story, and that's great. But maybe, you know, sometimes you can't get to every flu story. But if you have a story that can wait a bit, it's not exactly, you know, breaking news, think about times when it's a little slower and reporters really are hitting the dry time and they need it, you know. But this time between Christmas and New Year's, we have a lot of time to work on stories. August, you know, that kind of thing. So think about that. Another point, sidebars. I don't know if everybody calls it this, but in newspapers, we tend to write big stories, sometimes the big feature story, and we'll have a little story that draws readers' attention on sort of a piece of that story. On the NPH story, we did a tips box. So when you're pitching a story, try and think about, visualize how your story would appear in the paper, and that may be how you pitch it. Here I have this great story about this unrecognized brain disorder. I can offer you tips to do as a sidebar. I can offer you a real person that will humanize it and great pictures. And then finally, so this is what the story became. Misdiagnosed. I don't know if you can read it. The symptoms appear to be for Alzheimer's, could be mistaken for another, you know, for another illness. And that was, they offered a local couple. It was a cover story. It turned out to be a very compelling story. You can't really see all of this. It doesn't go into a slide, in fact. But the fact that was buried in the press release about the Alzheimer's became our subhead. Our subhead, you can't really see it, but you know, it says a man's symptoms, you know, mistaken for Alzheimer's, but it essentially was a treatable disorder. And I apologize. The JPEG didn't quite make it into the slide really well. And then finally, again, you can't see it very well. I apologize. But they offered great graphics, great illustration of how NPH works in the brain. And we were able then to have our artist do a recreation of that. And also, it's not showing up, but there was a sidebar to the right. And I apologize. So that there was a little box to the right that had the symptoms and what you know, the NPH symptoms. So that is an example of, the press release wasn't great, but it was a great story, and eventually it became a good story. Thank you.